Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Welcome into a bonus episode of Five Out.
When you say Five Out, what do you mean by that?
So the Sixers were in town this past weekend. I'm recording this before the game, but we're going to not talk so much about the Celtics-Sixers game. I wanted to give you guys some perspective on the Sixers, because around here, we hear about two teams when we're talking about the Eastern Conference and who are the Celtics' biggest concerns. It's obviously the Bucks. And then it's the Sixers, even though they're behind them in the standings. Obviously, they've done well against them. So I have my guy, Kai Carlin, from USA Today's Sixers Wire in town, hanging out. Kai, how you doing?
What's going on, man? How are you?
I am good. And I wanted to get your perspective on a bunch of Sixers stuff, because you're dealing with it every day, traveling and everything like that.
Yes, sir. All the time.
Now, they've been as low as – the lowest they've been is the sixth seed this year, right?
Yeah, I think currently they are the sixth seed. Now I'm thinking about it.
Okay,
I think they are right
as
now.
We're talking about it, at least they're the sixth seed. I know Sixers fans are negative.
All the time.
It's even worse than I thought. You told me some brutal stories.
All the time.
But for the writers, like, at least for you, I know you can't speak for the other guys, but where do you see them right now in terms of, you know, at least in the regular season, like where they finish up?
Well, they're not really a regular season team. They're not built for 82 games. They're built for the playoffs. But it is concerning due to the fact that the concerns with this team have been the same for the past couple of years. Is Ben Simmons going to shoot a jump shot? Is Joel Embiid healthy for the playoffs? He's been injured last two playoffs. Is Joel Embiid going to be healthy for the playoffs? Is Brett Brown ever going to make adjustments in game? And you know, like, those are the big concerns when it comes to this team. So when it comes to regular season wise, I can see them finishing second. You really can. Do I think they get second? No. But it's a possibility. It's not out of the realm of impossibility. The real question for the team is going to be, you know, for the playoffs. Like that's going to be where all the questions are going to be answered.
Right. Now, do you think that there's – now, who are the teams that, I guess, concern you the most when it comes to the Sixers? Obviously, the Bucks are number one for everybody.
Yeah, the Bucks for sure. The Heat are another one. If the Celtics get a big guy, then the Celtics would be concerning.
Okay.
And Toronto.
Is Robert Williams coming back? And Toronto, okay. Is Robert Williams coming back at all? You're like, eh.
Not really. I like Robert Williams. I was actually a big fan of his at Texas A&M.
Okay.
But like, he really hasn't really showed anything for me at the NBA level, or I'm like, damn, I'm so afraid of Robert Williams. So like, I don't know. Like, you have to like, I like Enes Kanter. He's a great offensive rebounder. He's
you're fine.
I mean, that's pretty much it. That's all he is. Daniel Tice is physical. Daniel Tice is more of the prototypical NBA big, where he can step out and hit jump shots.
The new prototypical big, yeah. I guess, would be the way to put it. Yeah, but
I guess the new one, yeah. But neither of them are going to check Joel Embiid down low. So
Everybody around here was freaking out when you were here last time when the Sixers were in town.
Yep.
Everybody's like, oh, you know, he did so well against Embiid, and I know some numbers made it look like he did well, but Embiid still had his way when he was here last time.
Yeah.
So like that's the thing. He is an unstoppable force, but then you guys got Simmons, who's supposed to be a force too, and like there's some days he's playing and it's like just, I don't know, falls asleep or gets soft. I mean he's gotta be the most maddening player in Philadelphia right now.
He's gotta be the most maddening player in the league.
Yeah,
like overall. I mean, because like you said, there are so many nights where for example, during the nine games when Embiid was out with the injury, I think Simmons was averaging like 21, 9, 8, 2.5 steals. Like that was his stat line over those nine games.
Really?
I mean, he was averaging 40 minutes a night.
Jeez.
Like over those nine games. Embiid comes back, and they've played two games leading into this Celtics game in Boston. They played two games since Embiid came back. They had the Golden State game. Embiid had 24 and 10. Simmons had 17, not nearly as many rebounds or assists. And then there was the Atlanta game where they lose to the Hawks. I don't understand how this team loses to the Hawks. I wasn't in Atlanta for that one.
I don't blame you. Why would you go there for
that? Yeah, if the Hawks were good, I would go to Atlanta.
Right, right.
But Ben had 31, 6, 5, and 4 steals, and Embiid had 21 and 14. Now, with those numbers, you think the Sixers are going to win?
Yeah.
Like you think the Sixers came out with a win, said they lose by 10 because they couldn't defend Trae Young. So
with Ben Simmons, who everybody gushes over for his defensive prowess, and obviously
Listen, let's be real. Those are real.
Yeah.
Those are real, you know, praises for Ben Simmons in terms of his defense. But Trae Young, they do struggle with certain point guards. Trae Young's the guy they struggle with. Kemba Walker normally is a guy they struggle with. They've been able to hold him in check.
Yeah, Tybull, that last time you guys were here.
Yeah.
He turned it around in the second half like crazy. I was blown away.
Yeah. Because, I mean, Kemba, I think in his last year with the Hornets, in the four games against Philadelphia, I think he averaged 30.
Really?
Like in those four games.
Oh, that's why Danny Ainge wanted him so badly.
Yeah.
He's going to go and cook against you guys. That's what
I think he averaged 30 in the four games in his final year with Charlotte. And they also struggled with D'Angelo Russell and Spencer Dinwiddie when they were together in Brooklyn. So, I mean, and Trae Young. So the Sixers kind of have issues defending perimeter guards. They've gotten better, obviously, this year with the addition of Thybul. Josh Richardson helps out. It doesn't help that Richardson is hurt right now. So there are like a couple of different things that really are hurting the Sixers in terms of perimeter defense. But I think that would kind of be like there are a couple main concerns come playoff time.
So when you listed off the teams that you're concerned about, you said the Celtics, if they get a big guy. So you have the Bucks unquestionably.
For sure.
With the Heat and the Raptors, though, they're unquestionable for you, too. Like, you're more concerned with them than the Celtics.
I am.
Wow.
And it's just for the simple fact that it comes down to size. Like, come playoff time, I mean, when you have to go up against Embiid and Horford for seven games, I think the Sixers would beat Boston in five games.
In five games?
I think it would be a quick series.
Damn.
And Brad Stevens would coach circles around Brett Brown. But in terms of just talent and size and the way things play out in the playoffs, everything that's kind of screams to me Sixers and five.
So Bam is and Jimmy are scary enough for you in Miami. And then I know you're a Pascal guy. So
I'm a big Pascal guy.
So Pascal and Gasol and Ibaka, that's enough for you?
Yeah. But the reason why I really include Miami, though, here's the main reason why I include Miami. And it's really Spoelstra.
Okay.
And also due to the fact that Miami has a legitimate closer in Butler, and Philly really doesn't. Like Philly, they lean on Tobias Harris, and I got to give Harris credit. He's actually filled that role pretty well. He's kind of taken steps forward as Tobias Harris, the closer. He's not Jimmy Butler.
No.
And in terms of closing a game out. Also, Spoelstra employs that zone. I don't know if you know this. Spoelstra employs a zone. I think I looked up. It was like 62% of the time.
We saw it earlier in the week. Yeah, for sure. I mean, he ran at 1-3-1 against them, and the Celtics ended up breaking it down, but they struggled with it at first, for sure.
Yeah, because, you know, it's the NBA. A lot of teams don't really see zone. Now, granted, that could happen. That could change in the playoffs now that teams have tape like on that zone, and they can get better at it and everything. That could always change. But the Sixers also don't have any shooters, like any sharp shooters. You know what I'm saying? If they had a J.J. Redick, who they don't miss him defensively, but offensively, you know, they're missing that sharp shooter.
Well, that's why when you guys got Richardson in the whole Butler thing, and I get it, like it's, and I say you guys, I know you're not part of the team, but like Richardson's nice and everything, but acting like he's going to go and make up for the fact that you lost J.J. Redick. He's an elite three-point shooter.
Right.
Richardson's not him. There's not many guys like him in the league.
Exactly. So it kind of made it tough. And then you kind of have to realize Brett Brown has changed his offensive scheme at least five times this year.
This year alone?
Alone, at least. He's changed that scheme five times because he's trying to figure out how is this roster going to fit?
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure we all had that question when they brought in Horford, like heading into the heading into the season. We're like, how in the hell of it are two big guys in today's NBA going to work out?
Yeah. No, I mean, the other thing was, too, you have a guy now who was guarding Embiid before. You take him away from everybody else, and now now Horford can go against Giannis. I mean, that's the most important guy for you, right? I mean, everybody's got to worry about it. Horford's, you know, one of the best at defending him, for sure.
Right. So, like, and also Brett's trying to make Ben a roller now in pick and roll schemes.
Yeah.
Which is kind of like the big, the big, I guess, issue or aspect when it comes to the Sixers. Like, what's Ben Simmons' really role offensively? Is he a roller?
We're all wondering.
Yeah.
Yeah. You got any answers, Kai? Maybe take a jump shot once in a while?
Right. Right. Just take one jump shot, please. Yeah. I got something for you, Nick. I got a stat for you. I'm not sure when the Cleveland game was. I really wish I could like put a date on it. I think it was I want to say around December 4th or December 5th, early December.
Okay.
or December 7th. Yeah, it was December 7th.
That's impressive in its own. Go ahead.
Thank you. Ben Simmons made his second three of the year against Cleveland. You know, big deal. And Brett Brown, after that game, said, I want 1 3-point shot a game. Ben, he said to us in the media, he said, I want you guys to tell his agent, tell his best friend, tell his mom, tell his best friend, tell his brother, I want 1 3-point shot a game. He's taken exactly 1 3-point shot, and it wasn't even a real one in that during that span. It was a half-court heave.
Oh, my God.
He has not taken a single 3-point shot since.
Okay. So, and I imagine he doesn't like being asked about this a whole hell of a lot.
He really doesn't.
Oh, it's just, that is so shocking. He really seems like the kind of guy who would love to talk through something like that.
Yep, nope.
So, I total misread on my part.
Oh, for sure. It's okay. I misread it, too. It's okay.
But, like, can you, I mean, I can't, from afar, you know, I watch him plenty, but not as much, obviously, as you do.
Right.
Can you figure out for the life of you why the hell he doesn't want to do it?
I asked him in Brooklyn. I asked him in Brooklyn back in December. I said, Ben, what is it with you with the jump shot? Like, I mean, is it to where, like, you're kind of looking for a rhythm? And he said, for me to take a jump shot, I need to be able to find my spot on the floor. I mean, I need to be able to... And
where the hell's your spot?
Yeah, right. Where is your spot?
You got
to
shoot to figure out where your spot is.
Right. He said, and I quote, I'm not Steph Curry. I'm not going to, you know, just fire up a bunch of three pointers. I'm the point guard. I'm going to make sure guys are set up first. So that was his response.
I mean, I appreciate the unselfishness. I do. But I was just talking to Gilroy about how Hayward, he runs into that problem where he's not selfish. Not nearly like Simmons. I don't want to do that to him. But... what the hell, man?
I mean, the 2 threes he's made have been from the corner. So, I mean, like, like maybe he feels like he needs to just get into the corner and find his spot there. And
I
find
can understand
rhythm.
Why he wouldn't get there a whole heck of a lot, given
right.
he's the point guard.
Right, given
that
he's
makes
the point
sense.
Guard. So, but, I mean, again, like as I was saying earlier, Brown has changed his scheme like 5 different times trying to figure out, like, how the best fit this roster. And recently he's figured out a way – that Ben Simmons should be the roller. He should be the screener and the roller rather than the guy distributing the ball because he's 6'10", and you can use athleticism at the rim, which then causes issues for Joel Embiid because he has to go outside and shoot a bunch of threes to allow Ben Simmons to roll to the basket.
Exactly. Why do you want him on the outside, especially if you're playing a team like the Celtics?
Right, and when really he's absolutely unstoppable in the post.
He really is.
If you get Embiid in the post one-on-one, you're screwed. You're either going to foul him or you give up a bucket. I mean, it's one of the two.
So my question to you then is, like, Embiid's locked in for a little – how much longer do you know? I'm asking off the top of your head, I know. I know Simmons just got his extension.
Yeah, Simmons' extension, I think, kicks in next year.
Right.
And then Embiid, I think, is under contract for another 3.
So do you think that those two – I mean, this is way down the line, but do you think those two are going to want to stay together, like, past that?
I don't know.
Because it seems so hard for them to coexist when Ben doesn't shoot from the outside at all.
Right, and Joel has mentioned it in like some interviews and media availability, like, oh, we need guys to shoot the ball, or we need or and like he won't say Ben shoot the ball, but he'll say in a roundabout way, Ben shoot the fucking ball. Mm. So I mean, like, there are a couple of different ways Joel has kind of expressed his frustration, and it's not like these guys hate each other; they really don't. I mean, Joel and Ben aren't the best of friends.
Mm.
Like, they're not hanging out with each other or anything like that, but they really mutually respect each other and realize how talented each player is. And I feel like they genuinely want to get this to work. But, I mean, Joel is a guy who wears his emotions on his sleeve. Mm-hmm. And as we all know.
Yeah, see, with cat stuff especially, it's must-see TV.
So it's like Joe, getting frustrated with Ben's shooting. It's like, come on, man.
So with Embiid, though, obviously there have been some kinds of concerns. You brought up the injury stuff and everything, but then Shaq and Charles are chirping him, you know, and I get it. I respect to some extent that he's like, I'm going to do me, but he also is like saying they're right in some of the stuff that they're saying. Is there any, I mean, do you have any concern, though, about Embiid's game, what he brings to you guys?
Not really. Just because, I mean, he's still trying to figure out this whole thing with Horford, and he's still averaging 24 and 12. I mean, like we're all criticizing him, and he's averaging 24 and 12. I mean, it's not like he's averaging 17 and 9 or something. Like, 24 and 12 is a legitimate number. He's been an all-star now for 3 consecutive years. He's the best big in the game. Some people think it's Jokic, although I am a big Jokic guy. But I'm taking.
You watch it. You're a big everybody guy except for Andre Drummond.
Oh, I hate Andre Drummond. I can't stand him.
Oh, you know, can you give us a little logic on Andre Drummond, because the Celtics fans wanted him for a little bit too.
Okay, now listen. I cover the Sixers, but I come from Michigan. I am a big Detroit Pistons fan.
Sorry to hear that.
I know. Appreciate it. Thank you. So if I had a team to root for, it would definitely be the Pistons. I mean, obviously in this business, we're not really fans anymore.
Mm.
But, I mean, like, if I had a team to root for, it would definitely be Detroit. And I've watched Andre Drummond his entire career. And if this was 2005, he'd be the best big guy in the game. But it's not 2005. It's 2020.
Game's passed him.
The game has completely passed him and Hassan Whiteside, like, out in Portland.
Well, that's just cruel. You're gonna put Hassan Whiteside and him in the same group?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Oh,
I don't want to hear about Drummond's 2020 games. I do not give a damn. He does not contribute to winning.
Wow.
Like, okay, if Andre Drummond is your number four or number five guy, then okay. Which he would be in Boston. I mean, if we're going to think realistically here, he would be the number four, number five guy in Boston.
Right.
Because you still have Kemba. Tatum and Brown. Haywood would probably have to go to Detroit.
If the money and everything.
Yeah, because of money and everything for the Drummond deal. But so if that's to be the case, sure. Try it out, Boston. See what happens. But he's not going to defend Joel Embiid.
That's the big thing.
Embiid owns real estate in that guy's head, and he knows it. He put it out on Twitter after Embiid like got him fouled out. After the game here in Philly, Drummond fouled out, and Embiid put some ridiculous tweet out saying, "I'm in your head. I'm building real estate in your head." I mean, Joe owns him.
He's a great trash talker.
Yeah, Embiid he's absolutely great. Yeah. Joel Embiid owns him.
Okay. So speaking of the trade stuff, I am curious. We have two more questions. I want to know your take on Horford and everything too. But when it comes to you guys, I think it's been – sorry, I keep saying you guys. The Sixers, okay?
Okay.
They've been – what was it, Bogdanovich, right? He's been rumored around.
Yeah,
Bogdan,
Covington are the two big names.
Did I see D-Rose get thrown around too?
Rose's name has been in there as well, but I just read something about how he doesn't want to be traded from Detroit.
Yeah, yeah.
And which I feel sorry for him. I mean, dude, go get a ring, please. Like,
so do you – when you look at what the Sixers need, I mean, I would think you'd say shooting above all else.
Shooting and a guy who can create in the half court.
Okay. What do you think is more important in their case, creating?
I mean, probably Bogdanovich would probably be the best fit, yeah. Just because, hey, he can shoot and he can create, you know, for himself.
Okay.
The thing is, though, he's so bad defensively. He's terrible.
Yep.
And that's where, when it comes to because Bogdanovich and Covington have been the two big names that they've been linked to.
Mm-hmm.
Covington would double down on their defensive identity.
For sure.
Double down on that, and he would also provide spot-up shooting. However, he can't really put the ball on the floor. He's been trying to work that out for, like, the longest time. He looks like a baby deer trying to walk for the first time whenever he tries to put the ball on the floor. It's, like, very foreign to him. He has no idea what he's doing.
Mm-hmm.
So, what is this? What are we doing here? And he almost turns the ball over every time. So it's like, that would be tough for them. Bogdanovich, though, would just kill them defensively whenever he's in the game. Luckily, they can make up for him because you got Horford, you got Embiid, you got Thybul, you got Simmons. The thing with Bogdan, though, you'd probably have to give one of the starters.
Okay.
So it's like, same thing with Gallinari. I saw a rumor that they were going out to Gallinari, and I'm like, if you're going to do that, you got to give up Horford.
Yeah, there's no Gallinari is the money issue too in the course of all that. Bogdanovich, the only reason he would be, you would think maybe we could get away with this because he's what, $7 million?
Yeah.
Yeah, right now. Mm-hmm. But obviously, Gallinari is like 24 to 26 million. So
yeah, he's making
a
ridiculous amount of money for a guy who's not good.
But you brought up Horford. Yeah. Well, oh, wow. Not a fan of Gallinari.
Not really.
I think he's overpaid for sure, but I don't think he's a bum.
He's not a bum. He's not a starter either. It's kind of like I'd bring you off my bench and just allow you to shoot three pointers.
I know the Celtics were looking at him. I think he'd be a good fit for the Celtics. It won't happen because of the money, but I think he'd be a good fit here because he can shoot.
I mean, I'd just bring him off the bench, give him the balls, and let him shoot threes. I wouldn't ask him to do anything else.
I think that's exactly all you'd ask him to do if he was brought
here.
Because the issues here are big, and then but they're not going to go after a big, and then it's off, and then it's scoring off the bench. They'd probably try and get a guy who can score off the bench and then help defend along the perimeter, because that's how they rim protect. That's Brad Stevens' whole thing.
Right,
but
right.
Horford was helpful with that too.
Yeah, Horford was huge.
Now, how do you guys feel about Horford? Obviously, there's I'm curious how the fans feel too. If you have a feel for that,
the fans have wanted him gone for a month.
They want Horford gone?
Yeah,
they want him gone. They want Simmons gone. They want Brown gone.
The only guys they care about are Embiid and Richardson.
That's it.
And Thybulle. They absolutely love Matisse Thybulle.
I can understand
he
that.
He is Philadelphia's now son. He's Philly's son.
They like Richardson because of your iguana story, right?
Oh, absolutely. They name. Oh, and also, I mean, he said his favorite cheesesteak spot was Ishka Bibbles, which is a spot in downtown Philly. They kind of chop up their cheesesteaks.
Okay.
He said he likes them chopped. He doesn't really like the
slice. Well,
the
when
slice
you go
one.
And being specific about your cheesesteaks, I feel like that your Philly people are going to love that.
Exactly. Yeah. So, I mean, they respect the hell out of that.
Okay.
But no, like, in terms of Horford, they've been wanting him gone for a month because they think he's aging in very quickly. And they also believe that they're also beginning to get on Elton Brand, too, for giving Al Horford the money and letting Jimmy walk. So, I mean, that, like, now all of a sudden they're, like, turning on Elton Brand a little bit.
He was a guy around here who was like, he's a huge loss, but the money that the Sixers were paying him is like,
right,
that's a lot of dough. I'm not paying Horford that kind of money.
Right.
As important as he is.
Like, here's the thing, though, when it comes to the Sixers. I mean, as I said at the beginning of this pod, I mean, like, a lot, they're built for the playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
And they could they could get to the finals, but they could also lose in the second round.
Mm, yeah, especially if they get the Heat. I know you're worried about that.
And, like, because we talk about the Bucks, and I'm worried about the Bucks. Like if I'm the Sixers, I'm definitely you're worried
Everybody
about the Bucks.
Everybody is.
However, think about it, though. Eric Bledsoe shits the bed every time the playoffs roll around. And Chris Middleton's up and down come playoff time.
Not against the Celtics.
Bro, that Celtics series, he couldn't miss.
Yeah, I know. It's unbelievable.
And then, but he was terrible in the Toronto series. Not terrible, but he wasn't nearly as good.
Not nearly as good, right.
And, you know, in that Toronto series. Brooke Lopez is hit or miss. And Wesley Matthews is, I don't care about Wesley Matthews.
Right, well, that's fair. And then the guy, was it Korver?
Korver's aging. Yep. Dante DiVincenzo is only in his second year. And then Budenholzer, I don't trust Budenholzer teams past the second round. I mean, they got swept by Cleveland when he was with the Hawks that year, when the Hawks won 60 games miraculously,
mm-hmm.
and sent four players to the All-Star game. Like, they sent Millsap, Horford, Teague, and Korver to the All-Star game in 2015.
Oh, wow. I forgot about that.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay, yep.
So yeah, that was the year Atlanta.
No, I can understand that then. Yep. I can understand that.
And then they went to the conference finals for the first time ever in Atlanta history, by the way,
mm-hmm.
like during Atlanta basketball history. And they get swept by Cleveland. Now, granted, it's LeBron James, but this was Cleveland without Kevin Love, and Kyrie Irving played only two games of that series. They lost
to LeBron.
They lost to LeBron and Matthew Dellavedova.
Matthew Dellavedova.
So,
man,
so I mean, like, come on.
Yep. No, you're right. You and I were talking about, like, the other day about, you know, Casey and Nurse taking over. And just, I mean, you got to look at things like that and wonder how much of the coach is a factor in the course of things. Same thing around here with Brad Stevens. You got to wonder sometimes how much does the coach, you know, factor in the course of some of these things where it's disappointing ends.
Right. And I mean, like.
Then there's Brett Brown.
Yeah, Brett Brown. I mean, I like, Brett Brown is. I have to give him this. He has adjusted in terms of finally realizing that Ben's not going to shoot the ball and just put him as a roller.
Can you fathom that, though? Like, your boss – I know Simmons makes more money than Brett Brown does, but your boss telling you, hey, can you shoot? Can you just shoot the basketball a little bit? It's not even like he's asking you, like, hey, can you play harder on defense, where it might be, like, annoying. It's like, I want you to shoot the basketball, which is what everybody wants to do. I mean, that's all you want to do when you play.
Dude, I'm a jack.
Yeah,
you know, like, this is a players' league, though. So it's Ben Simmons is going to play his way, and I feel like Brett has done a good job of adjusting that and realizing that I'm going to have Ben as a roller because he had Josh Richardson actually really morph into the team's ball handler. He had Richardson initiate the pick and roll, Simmons screen, and actually, it started at the end of December. I noticed it in the Miami game.
Okay,
it was December 28th, and like. Richardson kind of was able to find Simmons for a couple of alley-oops, and he used Trey Burke a lot. Now, Brown has been alternating all season between Howell Neto and Trey Burke.
Okay.
For his backup point guards. He has not found a legitimate backup point guard. He's been alternating between Neto and Burke all year.
Right.
Now, I feel like Neto is the prototypical Brett Brown point guard because he likes that pass-first guard. Mm-hmm. Burke is more of a scoring, get out of my way, I'm going to go one-on-one type of guard. But Neto is so bad defensively to where it's like, I mean, you can't hurt to have Trey Burke in there, coach. Right. I mean, come on. So
you would go with Burke over him?
I would.
Okay.
Just for the simple fact that just Neto's so bad defensively. And he had a hell of a game against Golden State the other week. He had 19 mm-hmm. points. But they all came in the first half.
See, now, at the end of all this, though, Kai, like I've been consistent, and I'm there with everybody else. The Sixers are one of the best teams in the East, even though they are where they are in the standings. But there are a lot of flaws with this team.
Like, a lot of them. Well, I just listed a whole laundry list.
But when you say that the Celtics can't beat them, the Celtics have done fine against the Heat. You know what I mean? Like, that's my thing. I'm not here. I'm not trying to make a case for them right now. I'm letting you go.
Well, for me, when it comes to that, like, when it comes to the Celtics and the Sixers, I love Bam Adebayo, by the way. Another one. Big Adebayo guy.
He's a beast.
Yeah, he's so good.
Yeah.
And like, he can do so many different things. Score, rebound, assist.
He moves real well for a big dude.
He absolutely does. And then you have, but he's not Embiid.
No, he's not Embiid.
He's not. And, like, Embiid dominates his team. Now, granted, the playoffs are much different than the regular season. So
there's no two ways about it. So
let's just say the Sixers sweep the Celtics. They finish it off. That doesn't mean squat, like, if the teams were to match up in the playoffs.
Right.
Because, I mean, I've seen it before. Like, I remember Brooklyn swept Miami in 2014, the regular season.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody's like, oh, Brooklyn can beat Miami. Darren Williams, Paul Pierce, Andrea Kirilenko. And then LeBron said, yeah, all right. And Miami beat them in five games en route to another NBA Finals appearance before they ran into Kawhi Leonard and the Spurs.
I think if there's a group of guys that he hates losing to more than anyone, it's probably Kevin Garnett and Paul Pierce.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Can't stand them.
So, I mean,
they don't like him either.
Yeah. You know what, though? Listen, Celtics fans, I know you're going to hate to hear this from me.
Oh, this is good. I like this.
Has there been any championship squad that milks their championship as much as the 08 Celtics?
it's true. The 08 Celtics team.
They milk that title.
They talk about it a lot. They love each other. That's part of it. That's the other thing.
Yeah, I mean, that makes sense.
I mean, I'm not saying they're right to do it, but I understand why they do it, because if you look at Paul Pierce, he had to work his ass off to get there. He got close, but the Nets were, you know, right there in the way those couple
times.
Right,
the New Jersey Nets teams, that's right.
Yep, with Jason Kidd, Kenny Martin, we were just talking about
it. Yes, we were.
Yep, I mean, they were an issue for them. And then the Pistons were good, too. You get KG. The issue is that, and I stand by this, the Celtics should have won that one they lost to Kobe. They got screwed over in game
2010?
Yep, 2010. They got screwed in game 6. Some people say game 7. I stand by game 6.
What happened game 6? It got blown out game 6.
No, I'm telling you, dude, the refs in that game, it was unbelievable.
Nick.
I don't say that ever, Kai. This is the only game I ever say that about. Ever. I hand to God, okay?
Okay.
But it's fine. You don't think that's the case.
I really don't.
In general, I mean, you think that the Sixers are, I mean, the Lakers 100% deserve that one.
Oh, damn.
You're good. Kai's in here breaking WEI furniture.
I apologize, EI. Bill me.
Don't tell them that they will.
Never mind. Don't do that. I'm broke.
Yeah, exactly. There you go.
So, I'm one of those people that, like, I 100% believe that refs don't have a say in the result of games.
Even though this is part of the era where they were fixing games.
They caught Donaghy, though, in 2002 or something, wasn't it?
There were a lot of guys. I mean, Foster was his group was always known as, I think it was the Series Extenders, I think it was. Look, I'm not one to go and blame refs, but, again, that's the one game I say that about in life. No, like, other than the gym, you know, the Armando Galarraga game with the Tigers where
yeah,
Jim
that
Joyce.
Sucked.
Yeah, obviously, that one.
But, like, Joyce knew he messed up, like, on the spot. And
yeah.
He, like, vehemently, like, apologized after that game. He said, I screwed up. I'm so sorry. Like,
you know what I never understood about that? You could still, like, could they have not talked about it, like, as a group and then said, hey, you know, we're overturning the call? I always thought you could still do that.
I don't know if you could do that in baseball.
Now you have to go and you have to,
yeah,
you they could on home runs.
Or whatever.
Yeah, and they could do it on home runs before and foul balls, I think, and that was it. And that was where the problem was. It was That was the worst call, I think, in the history, though, of Madden.
Yeah, that sucked.
Anyways.
That was bad as a Tigers fan. I was like, damn.
Yes, you got to. I mean, you had that run with the Pistons, but.
Yeah.
And you're not a hockey fan, so you don't like the Red Wings.
And I'm a Lions fan.
Oh. Oh, God. So. I feel so. So you can understand. Does Ben Wallace and then Billups, do they all milk that 04, was it?
They really don't.
Really?
Like, I very rarely hear them talk about it. I mean, Rip Hamilton does. I'm not going to lie. Rip Hamilton will go on Instagram and post a picture of all five of them with the hashtag best five alive. and he's been doing that for years. So, I mean, like Rip Hamilton's been milking it. But, I mean, you never hear Ben Wallace talk about it. Ben Wallace actually owns the Pistons G League team.
Really?
Grand Rapids Drive, yeah. I don't know. Actually, I don't know if he owns them. I think he's like a... I know he's affiliated with them in a big way, though, with the Grand Rapids Drive.
Uh-huh.
I don't know his role, but I know...
But he has a significant role, okay.
Yeah, he's like a really big role with the Drive.
Okay.
And then Billups, you know, he's with ESPN, and he's with Fox Sports West Coast or something. He broadcasts the Clippers games.
Right, and then Tayshaun is with the Grizzlies.
Yeah, he's in the Grizzlies front office. And then Rashid's somewhere being Rashid. I don't know what's he been up to.
We got a little taste of that, yeah. Rashid being Rashid.
I mean, listen, he's a real one.
Yeah, he...
I gotta tell you though, his ball don't lie. Got me in so much trouble when I played basketball. I got tossed from an intramural game because I said ball don't lie.
Jesus.
Okay.
You're something else.
Okay, this Division III intramural basketball. I blocked a kid so hard that he fell.
And you talk shit.
No. The ref called me for a foul.
Oh.
And he was my friend Kenny, and I was like, Kenny, that's not a foul, and got up in his face, and I stormed off till I kind of relaxed. He didn't call a tech on me yet. He missed the first free throw, and I'm on the other end of the court yelling, "Bottle lie!"
Oh, you
bottle lie! I screamed it, and I got teed up once.
Yep.
And then my best friend Sharif, he goes, "Kai, get off the court! I can't deal with this." And as I'm walking off, I walk past the other ref. I said, "Hey, ball don't fucking lie." And then I got teed up for the second time. Like, that was it.
Good to know that if we ever play together, you're going to talk a ton of shit. That's what you get from Sixers Wire, everybody. Nothing
oh,
but
man.
The best. And Kai, is it at Kai Carlin on Twitter?
At Kai underscore Carlin.
Just, okay. All right. Yes. My bad. At Kai underscore Carlin on Twitter and then Sixers Wire. I appreciate it very much, brother.
No doubt, man. Appreciate you having me on, man.
What it do, baby?
Yeah, you already know.
I'm just trying to be all right with it. Yeah. I'm just trying to be all right with it. Yeah. I'm just trying to see the light in it. I think we should take a ride with it. I'm just trying to spend the night with it. I just want to be alright with it. I'm just trying to see the light in it. I think we should take a ride with it. Hey, I got no resolutions. I'm just hoping for some.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.